Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. On the night of our Lord's betrayal, not long after he instituted his Holy Supper, a dispute arose among his disciples as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you." Christ was emphatic. Christians are to live in humility before God and before their neighbor, and in particular, those who are of the household of faith. Those who are outside of this household cannot do this. In fact, they do quite the opposite. Those who are of the world do not humble themselves before God. Rather, they try to exalt themselves above God by testing him, even by judging him. And neither do they humble themselves before others, but exalt themselves by seeking the places of honor, as we heard in our gospel lesson today. Just consider the Pharisees as we heard them this morning. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of one of their rulers, they were watching him carefully. And this was not the careful observation of a gracious host making sure that his dinner guest is comfortable and has everything that he should want. No. They watched him with the intent of catching Christ red-handed in sin. After all, they'd been watching his ministry very closely for some time now, looking for any opportunity to accuse him of blasphemy. They'd even seen him break the Sabbath at least once already by healing a man with a withered hand. And so on that particular Sabbath, the Pharisees, having invited Jesus to dine with them, watched him closely again, awaiting, probably even expecting, him to act, to work. What pride. What arrogance. The Pharisees exalted themselves above Christ, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. They dared to make themselves judge over him. They presumed to lay a trap in order that they might catch him in error. And because these men could not humble themselves before God, they could not humble themselves before their neighbor either. As they watched Jesus closely, there was a man before him who was afflicted with dropsy, a terrible disease caused by fluid accumulating under the skin or in body cavities. The swelling would have been plainly obvious to the eye, causing disfigurement of the limbs, maybe even the face. But did the Pharisees show mercy to this poor man? Did they invite him to come recline at table with them to share in the Sabbath feast? They did not. Did they even care about this man and his bodily affliction? Not in any real sense. If this dropsical man meant anything to them at all, it was only as a pawn, a tool, someone they could use to provoke their guest to sin. But why should we expect the Pharisees to care about this man? They couldn't even show respect or courtesy to each other. For at the Sabbath dinner, Jesus observed how these Pharisees jockeyed with one another for the first and best seats in the house. Like so many dinner parties before and since, maybe you've even attended a few like this, the seats at the table became the setting for a dog-eat-dog, every man for himself political game. So it goes in the world today. Where Christ is not present as the master who serves, there the devil is present, tempting sinners to think more highly of themselves than they ought. Like the Pharisees, those of the world despise God and test him. They watch God carefully in order to catch him in error. They think that they, as men, have the right to judge God. Also like the Pharisees, they lack humility towards their neighbor, which is the inevitable result of a lack of humility toward God. The world cannot love their neighbor because they do not have the God of love dwelling in them. And so they despise, maybe even hold contempt for those they consider to be beneath them. Even their peers are viewed as rivals. Even friends are viewed as competitors. The world vies for its own place of honor. Every man for himself, looking out for number one. You see, if humility comes from Christ and his kingdom, pride comes from the devil himself. But be warned, God is not mocked. He who once preached woe to the Pharisees for loving the best seat in the synagogue and greetings in the marketplaces has not grown more tolerant toward those who would exalt themselves above him or above others. He remains the God who scatters the proud in the imagination of their hearts and brings down the mighty from their thrones. He is still the Lord who sits in the heavens, laughing at and deriding and terrifying the kings of the earth who think that they can take counsel together against him. He continues to shame those who would honor themselves and humble everyone who exalts himself. But this is God's good work. We know it is God's alien or strange work, but it is still his good work. For by this work of bringing low and scattering, by this work of humbling and terrifying, by the law, God shows, reproves, and condemns sin, in order that he might then carry out his proper work, to exalt those of humble estate and fill the hungry with good things, to bless all who take refuge in him, to honor the one who has taken the lowest place, to exalt the one who humbles himself. As by the gospel, God gives comfort and consolation that all sins have been forgiven for Jesus' sake. This is the very reason why God brings down, even to the terrors of death, those who would exalt themselves. That he himself as Savior might raise them up again and exalt them to eternal life in heaven. Now, God not only does this work of bringing down and raising up, of humbling and exalting to us, he submitted to it himself. For Christ Jesus, our dear Lord, the only begotten Son of God, humbled himself before his Father in heaven by obeying his will. He was born a virgin mother. He came to be our brother. He wore a servant's form like ours. And in like manner, Christ humbled himself before his neighbor, before others, by serving them and helping them in purest love and mercy. When our Lord Jesus dwelt among us, he always chose the lowest seat, so to speak. As Isaiah prophesied, he was despised and rejected by men, with no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was born in a little town to humble parents and laid in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. As a child, he was submissive to Joseph and Mary. He obeyed them as his parents. As an adult, he had no place to lay his head. He stood with sinners to be baptized in the Jordan River. He ate and drank with tax collectors. He struggled alone with Satan in the wilderness. And finally, when his hour had come, he turned his face to go to Jerusalem, to the shame of the cross, to suffer and die for poor, miserable sinners. Yes, he who humbled himself from heaven to earth was then lifted up from the earth on the cross, stricken, smitten, and afflicted, bearing the burden of humanity's sin and paying for it in full by his holy, precious blood. And even on the night before that crucifixion, Jesus demonstrated his perfect humility to his disciples. On that night, he rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments. He tied a towel around his waist and began to wash their feet. And so a little while later, when he rebuked their bickering over which one was the greatest, it was not empty words when he said, "Not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as the one who serves. For who is greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I, says the Lord, I am among you as one who serves." That's why Jesus cared about that man with dropsy at the Sabbath feast earlier. That's why he took him and healed him and sent him away. In fact, that's why Jesus even accepted the invitation to come and dine with the Pharisees in the first place. Though he knew full well that they intended to use that meal to trap him. Jesus wanted their salvation too. He loved them. He desired them to repent and believe the gospel. There at that Sabbath meal, Jesus rebuked and chastised the Pharisees in order that they would be humbled and led to seek their exaltation, their salvation, not in themselves, but rather in him, Jesus Christ alone. In life and in death, Jesus was among men as the one who serves. And of course, Christ's words in our gospel lesson would prove to be true for him. Everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. Having been found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Christ, who humbled himself for us lowly sinners, was exalted, risen from the dead, ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And out of his boundless love for you, Jesus wills to share that exaltation with you. Sinners who are secure, who have not been brought down from their thrones or terrified by God's wrath and fury, these sinners despise the Lord's exaltation. They refuse his humble service. But again, he who humbles himself will be exalted. And the sinner who confesses his lowly state will be forgiven. From Adam, who was afraid when he heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden, and then consoled by the promise of the woman's offspring, to David, who was rebuked by Nathan for his many sins, but then comforted by the absolution spoken by the prophet, to the Canaanite woman, who confessed herself to be a dog so long as she received the crumbs that came from her master's table, to the Apostle Paul, who admitted that he himself was the foremost of sinners, in whom Christ demonstrated his perfect patience. Sinners who have been humbled by the condemnation of the law and brought to confess their sins in repentance have been lifted up, exalted, honored in the absolution, the gospel, the good news of forgiveness that comes from the mouth of our Savior, Jesus Christ himself, who says, "Friend, move up higher." That's why we're here this morning. We have entered this divine service today in humility. We began on our knees, at least spiritually speaking, confessing to God that we are poor, miserable sinners, that we have offended God with all our sins and iniquities, that we justly deserve his temporal and eternal punishment. But again, as our Lord said this morning, it is such a person who admits his sinfulness and confesses it to God, It is this person who humbly repents that is exalted by God to the place of honor. And that has happened for you. You have been exalted by God who loves you. He has declared that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, for his mercy is boundless, and his Son bitterly suffered and died for you in holiness and innocence. You who confessed yourself to be a poor, sinful being have been honored with the very glory of God himself and all the presence of the saints and angels today. Indeed, as Christ our dear Lord says earlier in the Gospel of Luke, these sinners are like servants who are served by the master at his banquet table. Those words will be fulfilled in just a little while, when you will come and you will be greeted with the words, "Welcome to the Lord's table," and kneeling here as humble servants, Christ your master will serve you with his very body and blood to strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. And because of this great exaltation from God, the Christian humbles himself before his neighbor. It might seem paradoxical, but it is true. Indeed, the Christian cannot do otherwise. He cannot help but humble himself before his brother or sister. For the fruit of repentance is good works. And so we are called by the Apostle Paul to clothe ourselves with humility towards one another, loving with one another in brotherly affection, outdoing one another in showing honor. And this is what he calls in our epistle today, walking in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We Christians walk in humility when we do not exalt ourselves higher than others or despise others as though we are better than them, but rather outdo them in showing honor to them. We walk in gentleness as Christians when we do not allow ourselves to attack others in anger in our words or works, but rather treat everyone in a kind way with respect. We walk in patience when we do not seek out personal revenge for offenses committed against us, but rather leave all things to God. We walk in love as Christians when we bear with one another and are merciful towards the faults of others. And we walk in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace when we agree in the confession of our faith given to us by God himself, and likewise in love for each other. We do this. We walk in such a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called, because we are all members of one body. We are all partakers of one heavenly blessing. We all possess one heavenly treasure. One God and Father in heaven, one Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, one Holy Spirit, one Word, one baptism, one faith, one hope of salvation. And so life here in the church should look distinctly different from life out in the world. For it is indeed the way of the world to exercise lordship over one another and seek the places of honor for oneself at the expense of others. But not so with you. For your Lord Jesus Christ, highest and most holy, humbled himself for you and for your salvation by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And therefore, you as a Christian, you are called to humble yourself before God and before your neighbor, especially your brothers and sisters here in the church. You do this by confessing your sins, by repenting of them, by believing the word of the gospel that your sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake, and then in love for one another, in service toward one another in humility. As a Christian, do not be ashamed to do this. Do not be ashamed to take the lowest place. For your Lord and Master has promised to exalt you. Indeed, he is preparing now a place of honor for you. And someday he has vowed, and he will not change his mind, that he will come again and take you to himself, saying to you, friend, arise, move up higher, and then you will be honored along with all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with you eternally. And in that place of honor you will dwell with the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven in the blessed and glorious presence of your Lord Jesus Christ, feasting at the banquet that has no end. In the name of Jesus, amen.